have no comments. The vice chair. Presentation of the budget 2018. Denise, it's your show.
My show, all right. Well, I will try very hard not to put you all to sleep while we talk about the numbers. But we are going to talk about the County Division of Health's 2018 budget. All right, so our first page is a pie chart that we've been putting together each year to show you kind of how the revenue is broken out. The total revenue for the Division of Health is about $9.5 million, $9,475,000. And this is how that breaks out for you. The federal dollars, that's most of that is made up of our HUD grant, and there is a small Coverdell forensic grant that we have been getting also. And then the next pie is our state, most of it is our state consolidated contract. That is actually down just a little bit for 2018. We made some adjustments for what they call the public health preparedness grant. There's been talk at the federal or at in Washington that they're going to reduce the preparedness funds in the second half of 2018. So we did reduce our budget in anticipation that that may happen. If it doesn't, good news. If not, we're at least prepared for that. So there's a small decrease there. The largest change is in our grants segment. The $2.7 million in the grants is made up of our Family Foundations, which is our home visiting program, the Women's Health Programs, and then suicide prevention and what we are now terming opioid abuse. So we always have this segment for suicide prevention or harm prevention, we refer to it. That is now where our opioid grant is. You'll probably hear me refer to Narcan. We did receive $225,000 for the distribution of Narcan and training of people in the community. So that's in that large green pie. And then the other segment, the purple segment, is where we have our KUSD nursing contract, our environmental service fees, nursing fees, laboratory fees. So all the clinic fees reside in that. That's about $1.3 million. And then the last two pieces are the City of Kenosha, their contribution of $1,076,000, and the Kenosha County levy portion of $1.1 million. So we're going to turn to page 2. And I encourage you all to look at your packets because to look at all these numbers up here, and I can flip the lights off, but it's still, it's a lot of numbers to look at. So. The first portion that we're going to talk about is the FTE changes. So in 2017, we had 55.71 full-time equivalents, and in 2018, we are proposing 61.86. Of those 6.15 FTEs, all but one is funded either through grants or through our sister division, the Division of Aging. And that would be the Vivitrol program. People refer to it, they also refer to it as MAT, which is medically assisted treatment. So that those, all of those FTEs other than one is funded in some way. So then to look at how those FTEs break out in dollars, you can. I basically just did the dollars. They follow each of those FTEs. So we'll talk about those in a little bit further detail. So the Vivitrol nurse, last year we had a Vivitrol nurse that was proposed that started in July. So in 2018, we now have a half of a year, basically our full year additional year in our budget, so that's about $59,000. And then we have the new HUD grant came through. So it will, the current grant ends in November, it will close out in probably January, February timeframe, and then our new grant kicks in. So given that new grant, we have proposed a new program manager, a new additional administrative assistant, and then our current program manager will retire partway through 2018. So we have about a half FTE that will be gone partway through the year. Then we also talked a little bit about those FTEs for what we're calling the Wisconsin PDO grant or Narcan. So we had one up above, there's 1.57 FTEs, and that equates to about $128,000, and that is funded by that grant, but that's the dollars associated with it. Then in our family foundations or our home visiting program, in 2017 they reduced it by one FTE and we did receive funding back, so we're able to add that FTE back in. So we'll have an additional home visitor, and that's about $100,000. And then the ECCS grant, which was early childhood development, first we were a pilot, and then we were able to run the grant for about a year, and that grant has ended. So we had a portion of an FTE that was working on that, and that those funds are a reduction. And then the next section is we did propose an additional Vivitrol nurse. And that, like I said, though, you'll see it later, but the Vivitrol program or the MAT program is actually the nurses reside in health, but they are funded through DAD. So later on in my presentation, you'll see down at the bottom, we have interdivisional charges, and it's basically like a credit to us. So that is where our charges to DADs go through. So this nurse, although she is up in our personal expenses, we do pass those expenses through. And then we did propose an additional public health tech as well. And that is for the additional Vivitrol program and as well all of the urine analysis. So there's a behavioral cohort, treatment cohorts that are also part of the Division of Aging. Those clients come into our clinic to have to drop their urines. And so the volume has increased dramatically. And so that is proposed here as well. Then the remaining numbers that you see our increases in salaries, you know, the normal expected proposed increases, as well as a small increase in health insurance, small increase in retirement, and other taxes. So that is the personnel section of the Division of Health's budget. The next segment is the contractual changes. And that is a fairly small change. Two fairly large line items. In data processing costs, that's where our electronic health record system resides. And we do have our expenses in 2017 and 2018 are getting offset by a meaningful use program, which is where our nurse practitioners are able to get a small incentive from the state. And so that is why you see a reduction there of about $27,000. And then we also, however, did increase our professional fees with the anticipation of having to go through the accreditation process again. There's a fee for the health department to be accredited. So those somewhat offset each other. And then in the supplies area, all of the increases that you see in both advertising, mileage, lab and medical, those are all related to that Narcan grant that we talked about. So that program, I'm not sure if any of you have seen, but they have some billboards out now sort of promoting, you know, get trained, learn about Narcan, you know, make sure that you have it available, you can save a life, those kinds of things. So there's some advertising involved. There'll be some travel, obviously, as they do some training throughout the community. And then there's some staff development. And then the largest increase there, the $57,000, is actually purchasing the Narcan. So there's, I think it's about $75,000 in the grant to purchase Narcan, but the increase is about $58,000. So that's what you see there. Next segment of the budget is the fixed charges, and those did not change a whole lot. We do have three vehicles that are aging, and so we have proposed leasing three different vehicles. One is for the HUD grant, and then two are aged vehicles in the environmental division. So that's $17,000. It's about $5,700 a year to lease a vehicle. And then in the grant and contribution section, the largest increase is in our HUD grant, the $287,000. That is, as we roll or close the new grant, there'll be a number of units that we have to finish between now and the first of the year to complete that grant. And so there's obviously additional expenditures. What you see here is mostly contract expenditures. So although it looks like a large increase, it's completely offset by the HUD grant revenue or reimbursement. The Family Planning Reproductive Health Services, that is a pass-through program where we provide state funds to a number of different agencies who then provide the services, and there's been a small increase for them of $25,000. Same with the tobacco control grant. That is basically state funding that passes through. And then the WIC services, again, similar situation where the services are provided by Racine Community Action, but we receive the funds, they bill us, then we get reimbursement, and they actually had a decrease because their caseload is down. And then similar small decrease in the K-Life, and then we talked about the ECCS program, that grant went away, or that program went away. And then in the outlay charges, that's just last year we had budgeted $18,000 for a purchase of a piece of equipment in the HUD grant. We're not budgeting that this year, so that's a decrease of $18,500. And then as I talked about, the interdivisional charges, that's an increase of about $153,000, and that is those pass-through charges where we charge dads for the Vivitrol nurses, for all of those urine analysis. We also charge DCFS for the programs they have where they have clients that have to come in and drop. So we're providing the service and then we bill them back basically through a journal entry. And then I guess the last piece was just we do have a small decrease expected for fiscal services in 2018. So that is our total expenditures. And then the second, or next segment, is the revenue. And this is where you'll see that the grants are offsetting much of the expenses, or the fund, there's different funding sources. So, as I mentioned, the state consolidated grant we did, or contract we did budget that small decrease. So not only did we budget expense decrease, but we budgeted the resulting revenue decrease. The ECCS was a grant that we talked about that's gone away, that's $25,000. Then the NFP program, they did, like I said, added back that FTE, provided us a little bit of additional funding in the next cycle. So that is an increase in revenue. And same with family planning, reproductive health. Our nursing services fees, we'll talk a little bit more about the fee schedule in detail, but we are anticipating a small decrease in the clinic service fees. We've continued to see a decrease in some of the immunizations that we used to provide that folks are not necessarily coming here for. Then we have a small increase in our Medicaid revenue, and that is mainly the PNCC and TCM, that's for the nurse family program, the services they provide. We mentioned WIC, that their caseload went down, so we have a little bit of a reduction in their revenue. And then HUD, like I said, the expenses are going up, but then that is completely offset by reimbursement. So you see a large increase in the revenue there. And then the all other sources, that is where that the Narcan grant resides. That was about $225,000 that we received in 2017 that will go into 2018. So that's the large increase you see in all other. And then we mentioned the City of Kenosha contribution that went up about $94,000 from 2017. And all told, the Kenosha County levy is going up about $185,000, or that is the proposal for 2018, from $916,000 to $1,100,000. Then the next portion, or the piece that we'd like to present, is our fee schedule. And we did spend quite a bit of time on this. And a number of years ago, we decided that or actually I think it was because we had to, but we created this sliding fee scale. And the idea was that there would be a discounted rate for those who could not afford it based on their salary or poverty levels that were out there. So we updated the 2017 federal poverty level information for this year, and then spent a number of hours looking at the different fees that we had and the services that we provided, and did they still make sense. So I'm going to walk, anything in yellow on here was modified. In 2017's, the current fee schedule, we used to have the level one fee for immunizations was $12. We are increasing that to $15 and making it just consistent across the board. This is for your VFC program, for the folks that come in here to get their immunizations. For the adult flu vaccine, that used to be $30 across the board, and we are finding that our costs for the flu vaccine have gone up, and so we are proposing $35 for level one, and that only covers our direct costs, which is the cost of the vaccine and then the nurse's time. It doesn't cover any administrative costs or anything. And then we are proposing an increase at each of the next levels. Occupational Hep B, we did not change the cost when reviewed, seems to still be in line. The health check examination, that was also an increase. And that was, I'm trying to find out if I have a previous. It was, I think it was $30 before. Let me just pull it up quick. I didn't write it down. So yes, it actually was $50 and we increased it to $55. And that is basically when you're, you know, taking care of a young child. It's the review of the nurse's time. They visit with them. They are telling me that it can take up to 2 to 2.5 hours to perform the health check exams. And so we did increase those costs. The $55 would not cover the full amount or the full cost of the nurse's time, but when you get to level five, then we are covering all the costs. We also removed a number of immunizations. There used to be line items for pneumovax, hepatitis A, meningitis, varicella, Gardasil, and Zostavax. And when we looked at the cost of all those vaccines are going up, and in addition, the numbers were down. For instance, I believe we only had 3 people come in for pneumovax in 2016. So we decided we would take those off the fee scale. We will still have the vaccine here. And if someone comes in and cannot afford the vaccine, we can give them the vaccine, and then there's a Merck Assist program where you can submit for, basically you'll get that vaccine back. Merck will send it back to you, and that is the only way we're going to continue with those. And then the pregnancy test, the $15 level one, we left as it was, but then increased each of the other levels to cover the cost of the pregnancy and then the testing as well as the nurse's time. Hepatitis C is added here. We did not have that on our fee scale before, so we are providing that now. TB skin is probably one of the most common things that people come in for, and we left the $30 level alone and then just increased levels through 2 through 5 to cover some of the additional costs. The complete blood counts, comprehensive metabolic panel, lipid panels. It is not something that we have a large demand for, but one of our nurse practitioners does provide annual exams to some women, and so we will continue to provide those, and we anything on the right where we did have to increase the cost. So. We also removed a strep test from the, it used to be on our fee scale, but we were not, we are able to do the test, but we cannot actually then provide the antibiotics for it. We could write a script, and we weren't getting very many requests, so we are removing the strep test from the fee scale. We also removed a blood draw that was on here previously, and basically what we're finding is no one comes in for a blood draw alone just to have their hemoglobin or something checked. The blood draw would be part of another service, and so that's how it would be continued. see, STD treatments, we did have to increase those based on direct costs. They used to be, the level one was $20, it's now $30. We made a title change in the family planning services and put contraceptives behind it so it was clear what was being provided. We did review the pap smear costs and made a few changes on levels 2 through 5. Depo and reproductive health did not change based on the costs of the services. And then under the IUD visits, we were actually able to reduce the IUD costs. In the past, each different type was more, some were more expensive than others. We've been able to provide find a provider where the IUDs, doesn't matter which type, the cost is the same and it is a little less expensive. So we were able to reduce that. It was previously $324 and now it's $300 for level one. And then Nexplanon was an increase just slightly. That was previously $424 at level one. It's now $430. And then we also increased the removal fees just because it takes a little bit more time for the nurse practitioner. The colposcopy visits was a slight decrease. It was previously $226 at level one. That's down to $220. And then the NuvaRing increased just $2 from $48 at level one to $50. We also removed the car seats. We used to list the car seats on here, and those are provided through a grant program, and it will continue through our Family Foundation's home visiting program, but we aren't going to have them for sale or for donation, so we removed those. And then the last section is just our lab fees, and there's been no change in the bacteria, nitrate, and fluoride testing, as well as arsenic testing. Spore testing remains the same as the radon kits, and the last thing we did remove was the testing for lead paint chips. We had a fee on here of $25, but we weren't actually ever charging anyone. If they came in and brought a lead paint chip, we would just, one of our folks from the HUD group was coming over and testing it, so we removed that. And that is the presentation of the 2018 Division of Health budget. Yes, ma'am.
A couple of questions. With the immunizations, are the people coming, or are we up to date on vaccines? Or are people just not coming in for vaccines? People have other providers to go and access vaccines from. So we're seeing our rate across our community based on providers, or if he puts information into the registry, we're doing fairly well.
Okay.
Just the number of people that are accessing vaccines through us, there's a reduced number because they have other providers that are providing them.
Are you still getting a number of people who have insurance that still want to come here because their copay is so high?
No, we're not. No. We're
not much
no.
of that?
No.
Because you still get some that, well, my copay is so high or my out-of-pocket is so high, so.
That's why overall, when you look at these clinical services, the level one are the clients we see.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the other areas that go beyond that, we're not seeing those individuals.
Okay.
And so it really, we had to adjust the numbers, but we're not even seeing that population.
Correct. So that kind of goes with the WIC. Are fewer people qualifying?
WIC, they're able to, through the supplemental food, there's other ways that they're accessing food rather than through WIC.
Okay. Should we be pushing WIC because they're providing other services?
Well, it's still, you know, health is still part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have, you know, that round that they see a nutritionist, you know, it's a different means of care.
Right.
So still, you know, mentioning what are the resources available to people in the community, absolutely. Good questions, thank you.
I don't recall that we've had to raise fees in, I think, a few years, other than maybe tweaking our one or two counts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably reasonable.
Right.
And with inflation, and I see the CBC test. I know what my lab charges me for a CBC test, and it's
right.
So I think they're all reasonable. It's a good budget.
Yeah, we definitely had, you know, we hadn't spent time probably in the last 2 years just looking, how many minutes does it take you to do it?
Right.
Who's doing it? Then we looked, okay, so is it a nurse and a public health tech? And actually calculated, okay, how many minutes at what rate, and are we covering the cost? And that's what we were trying to do.
Yeah, we haven't really done this in a while, so it's, I'm sure it's what we're doing, reasonable. If nobody else has any questions, I'll move approval of the budget as presented.
Okay, so I asked a bunch of questions when I first got here because you're seeing it, you know? And so part of what I've been trying to sort out is all the different chargebacks and all the different things back and forth, because we all know that that's always a topic of discussion, right? So one of the questions is the occupational pet fee. Is that charged for the, do we sort out, do we see people who need that and do we charge them based on, like, I'm working at Aurora or I'm working at a place in the city or I'm working at a place out there? Who do we see for something like occupational health?
I mentioned that because that's a program with a lot of companies.
Right. It's actually, for the most part, it's like kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kenosha Human Services, some of the nursing facilities come in. We don't have a ton of people who come through there, and so we charge them, if it is a nonprofit, we do charge them at that lowest rate, the mm-hmm. lowest rate on here, but then if it was, I think we might have had a dentist, you know, send in an employee, then we would be at the level 5 when we ask, what is your income?
Okay, so we do it based on the address of the person of where they're working, and we do give nonprofits a discount.
We give them a level 1.
Okay. All right. And then I have a lot of these answered already. Good. I mean, I guess the biggest issue in it, you know, she was going to check on this for me, but the biggest issue just that, you know, I've been asked is how for the city-county contract, how do these get charged back? And the answer seems to be through zip codes, but that means that...
I'm one of the states.
Okay.
And I'm one of them. Former CFO of Human Services, but I have been doing the cost allocation plan for the Division of Health for a few years now. And yes, it depends on the service type. There are specific city services that falls within the city, and that's it sits in the city's column. But for any like clinic services or our home visiting, it's all done by zip code. So, and in fact, I'm very happy to say in 2016, we had the new medical record software that was installed, and we were using a pretty old type of way of tracking it. And when I did the 2016 plan, which I just finished a month ago, was more detailed than I've ever seen in my life. So it was very detailed, and it's really working out well. And yes, now we have. Otherwise, we weren't getting every zip code coming through in the previous years, but we were doing it on Maximus does the cost allocation plan, so they do it based upon expenditures, you know, on a ratio, and then that's how they were doing that. But we have a lot more detail now.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So the zip code, is it the just the 5 or the 5 plus 4 or?
No, 4. Yeah, just the 5 numbers.
Okay.
The first 5
so
digits.
The town Somers shares with the city.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who lives in the town of Somers would have a city zip code. So some of that would be allocated.
Some of it is. Pretty much we do the 4 zip codes for the city. And I didn't see a whole lot of Kenosha residents with a Somers zip code this time around, if that's what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying that whenever you have, if you're, the zip codes it makes sense to me to use zip codes if we're using a zip code that is a five, you know, is a more detailed zip code. But if it's just, if it's a zip code that crosses boundaries, then obviously you have issues with, you know, and that was just one of the things that I was asked to look into, is how are we allocating things back? Because, you know, just as, and I guess in years past, because I was not here, there were issues with the school district and things, you know, covering, Mark's nodding his head, he remembers that one. You know,
yeah, and that's been resolved a while back.
Right.
So Kenosha Unified School contract is totally on the county side.
Right.
The city doesn't have anything to do with that. You'll see that in the plan. It's
right.
Zero. Any kind of types of contracts like that, if it's our decision to do it, we do it. This is more of the general population. But so far, I've only used like 53140. 42, 43, 44, and then the 41 with the post office we look at.
Okay.
But those are the only zip codes that I'm putting in with the city side at this point.
Right.
But good point. We might be able to add four, you know, the four digits
four
in the future,
that.
And the city might get more.
I know. I'm one of those Plan B areas up on the north, right next
sure.
to Summers or whatever. And I actually, my house is in the city, and my front yard is Summers because
nope.
they. It was lovely before I bought my house. But that means that I know that the entire neighborhood north and east of me that is 53144 is all Summers. And so, you know, as I'm looking at some of this, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how do those, my first question
yeah.
is how do those decisions get made? And then my second question is that the best way we can do it? And
mm-hmm.
if the answer is yes, then I go back and I say this is the best we can do. But if we can, you know, keep looking at different ways to add in some more specificity, then perhaps that would be a
yeah.
good thing we can do.
And since you are new, I can give you my little 101 on this cost allocation plan. I mean, this
mm-hmm.
agreement was 1992,
mm-hmm.
and today in 2017, this health division is so different from 1992. And it's really... it needs to be evolved, and the whole calculation has evolved over the years and has gotten more complex. But hopefully someday, maybe not in my lifetime, but we'll have, we'll come to some type of a more easier calculation method or something.
Yeah,
but right now, this is all we've got,
yeah.
and, you know, we've never had the four digits. I think in the new system we do, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're all filled. Maybe in 2018 that could be our goal,
right.
is to fill the four digits.
Do we do it for the environmental?
No, environmental we go per address. So if it's in the county, it's county, or if it's in the city, the time it's all allocated
per address.
Yeah.
So the clinic services, so environmental does per address and clinic does by zip code.
It's the same thing, zip code or address.
Well, no, because if it has a county zip code, but it's in the city, we would count it at city time. So because
they're on a different state.
But we do one property at a time for this.
They do
so.
One property, and they have 1,000 properties compared to
yeah.
however
yeah.
many Kenosha.
Right.
I mean, my clinic services spreadsheet was 72,000 lines. So.
I mean,
that's what we're
if
dealing
I go
with.
On to, you know, Gap.com
yeah.
or something, and I'm ordering something from Amazon or Gap, and I put in, you know, my address, it pops up 53144, blah, 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 whatever it is, 4263 or something. And so, you know, I mean, I'm figuring that can be done.
Well, we could look at it in 2018. We have a start now. So.
And she'd already answered all my other questions.
Great. The city is never happy with their fees.
Oh, I'm
you know,
sure.
Like she said, that agreement was in 1992. The current administration doesn't believe they should pay anything. That's the county's responsibility. Yeah.
That's not my, yeah. That's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah, well, maybe someday there might be a different agreement. Or, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, just for the record, you know, what
right.
I'm hearing is that there's no problem in what is in what they need to spend as long as they understand that they are spending for city residents. But when
mm-hmm.
when things start to blur boundaries, then, the issue is, the city's under the same rule that, or same problem that the county has with expenditure restraint.
Right.
And so everybody's looking very closely at their pocketbooks and trying to figure out what, you know, is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And from what you told me at the very beginning, the previous person didn't show up to meetings, so at least I'm here trying to figure out the answers and figure out what's going on.
Well, don't we provide information when they get services and they give you your address?
Yes.
They tell you where they live.
Like I said, the new software provided so much more detail. When I finished 2016, I was amazed compared to what I had to deal with, you know, in the years prior. It actually created more work because I had more data elements to work with on it. So it's good, though. It's a good.
Yeah.
It's good moving forward like that.
So could there be a little fluctuation in there of a small percentage? Yeah, somebody
with the four
in Pleasant
digits
Prairie,
or something.
Somebody's
yeah.
in Pleasant Prairie, but they have a 53142 number.
Right. Are
they gonna? So if they tell you they live in Pleasant Prairie, when they come and fill out the paperwork, you put them in.
Mm-hmm. If it's a 42, that's where I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's the only thing I have to go by.
It goes the opposite way as well.
Yeah.
So if their address is a city zip code or a county zip code, but they're
the Pleasant Prairie Kenosha border is a border too.
Right, exactly.
I think that's more so in the last couple years than anything else, but on the annexation and things like that. Because I know the city's annexed too a lot.
I'm going to be swallowed up by
Fox.
Anybody else have any other questions? Mark, you're back to you.
Nope. Oh, yeah. Motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
presentation.
Good job.
You want to do that? Get something first? So kick it. Grab something.
We're seen as taking over while they're remodeling.
There was no problem.
I was walking at 6:30 and all these guys were just coming in there.
The only problem is my sister-in-law that worked at PD2. She got the interview, so they took her in. She worked 6 to 1. Now it's going to be 4 to 1.
I started.
You'll see it around the floor, just cleaning up.
No, he's a fresh
they got her senior, they gave her senior, which is, they assume that.
How have you been doing?
So, yeah.
Three or four.
I don't know what they said, mine was.
Vandalism there, playgrounds.
You know what? And I'm gonna be a resident. And it's the same.
Oh, it took a while. It's, I'm going to arrive, if I keep getting some.
Walking from the neighborhood, couple on bikes.
We might be in the laundry area.
I'll be knocking out a couple of the windows, and when I don't put up, some of the guys will be, they get there, I'm out of here. What time does it start?
I gotta tell them several times, get off the top, they play tag.
We're just doing the ones in jargon.
Good luck. And I've already told them.
What?
The other day, they come by, and they won't get plates up.
It's all true.
Yeah, so, Tom's house is being sold.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Mike's got.
Is that area one?
Yeah.
I wanna bring in skate.
So, what is area, you're screaming on one hour.
It's their last Thursday, so sunset.
Fix it up, it's the best.
You have to save it in photos.
Exactly.
Cause you didn't want.
Yeah, it's all set in my car.
He told the kids, he texted the kids, it was so funny, and his daughter lives in East Troy.
No, it's pitch black.
Robert's. He said, you know, if Fox has taken the house, and you guys want any furniture or whatever, let me know. One day, her husband. Meg and I talked, and we want the charger, and we want the attached garage.
Well, they talked about it.
So did they give you more for having to get a house out of it?
Well, we heard, we're going Thursday night to receive our meeting, but we heard Jesse say that. And you wouldn't have even gotten it.
Oh, I know.
So I don't know. You know?
Farmland.
I was there all the time.
That's like.
How much land?
But half acre. The guys came.
Is there a talk to the.
No, it's just.
I checked him, I said, I'll walk him back. I walk him back there.
If it's locked, it probably has the.
I said, what? It took out their plan, it has the playground like that. It's supposed to be a whole weird, whole weird.
How many homes are over?
Camera, lights, camera, and then the camera on the building.
I mean, it's all farmland. Coming home Saturday.
Should be in already, cause everything's built.
Coming home Saturday.
So I went and got Frank.
We were looking at it.
Frank came, talked to him.
You know, the rest of the sun.
So I don't know, cause we funded.
Remember, that's the city are in 11, in Vaughan Road.
Right there.
But it's on, it would be north of Vaughan, right?
And then here's what can happen, they take those plane, they take those.
The KR to Vaughan and H to Anderson is area one, so the one they're gonna go.
So then they shove me up to home, and they.
But then Vaughan Road at 11, to 11, you know, H, and Anderson is area two.
It's been busted.
And then right across from town, they're taking all that land, but that's future.
So I don't know what happened to that, you know, the city had bid out that contract, so somebody got it in. Somewhere along the line. The contract may be changed.
100th Avenue.
But.
History of.
Even Frank was surprised that it was supposed to be trenched in the hole, so.
I can run down this road, no problem. And you get to, KR, and there was a fire project, a press release this morning. Somebody's adding like 7:15 in the morning.
She was in.
They almost tried to kill me by sending all these cars down 100th Avenue.
Someone showed on this project.
One guy ran.
They should have never sent contract on the floor, you had a contract.
I wasn't going to, and then.
They weren't there watching, so I stopped.
Yeah, that's.
You still have yours.
Oh, yeah.
Any drive.
I was gonna grab the step too, maybe, over to Brookside.
They need, my whole skin. And I was at a budget here.
Trying to sell it to Mark, he buys a truck, sink it.
When they put money in it. The cameras, they needed one at Lakefront, they needed one at Southport.
You should grab my truck, I'd say, tell you what.
I don't know what they're.
Why it's letter truck. They'll get letter from the London Borough.
This is moving off the road.
Some papers.
Right.
I mean, it's so.
That doesn't work.
Do you have that, where you have to, can you park cars outside?
Yeah.
Oh, because some of the, they can't.
My driveway, I do. You park in the street. I suppose it was there long. People park their cars in the driveway.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, he said you can't, you have to be in the garage.
My aunt said it was the same in the neighborhood, you can't park in the driveway overnight.
You don't have to go garage it?
Yeah, I do, you have full bar.
Right, they, you got six cars.
Last year, we had one of the other. Like, took a picture, this was.
Like, you forgot to put mine on.
Every day, and I took a picture of it. The sculptor that does the stainless steel, he's like, he saw like, and I posted on there, he knew the artist was 78 years old. Professionally cleaned off.
Oh, yeah.
And he was out there.
You had time?
No, I'm a fine house.
He says, well, I came here right away because if this wasn't cleaned up properly, or if you would have just came over here and we played paint it over and tried their power spray to put up, it would ruin the sculpture. We gotta know what to do. So
I should just go get a little part of the loaning to the street.
I think this was built by.
Yeah, it's out here. So she'll be wired. It's better out here. So you'll be wired.
But this period of time, somewhere down the road, they're going to look back at history, they're going to look at this period of time in the United States, and it's going to say, nobody knew it.
That's where you were going.
It was a period of.
It's time to start it out.
There's going to be some type of change going on. Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Common sense, Johnny, talk to Johnny.
It doesn't matter what you think.
He's not doing the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you felt really bad. I can tell the guy was.
They did it to the law enforcement.
Changes to chapter 16.
Yeah.
But there were just code changes because of.
I mean, you know, sadly, it's come to the point.
But it's been sitting there since night.
He finally found it.
He asked him a question about it.
So now he wanted to have the October.
What? Yeah.
So now I just mark and book like last year.
Just been put up.
I had another health department.
14, 50 year old kid.
Okay, just a couple of things to update everybody on. We've been busy for the staff August, by staff on board, including our population health project manager, Ann Blanc. And today's her birthday, so she took the day off. At the next board of health meeting. Environmental, they really did awesome work in July with the flood. They, between them and the lab, they distributed over 700 well test kits. And then in our lab, we tested 420 wells to get the people that are back in their home and drinking out of their own faucets again. As was mentioned about the HUD program, we're ending a grant and starting another one. There's always this cycle that goes through. Today we have the new grant coordinator start, Lindsay, and it's meter just for 4 minutes. But we're happy to have her on board, and she'll help out as we're closing out the other one and starting new. In the nursing section, we've had an audit. Our Parents as Teachers program, which is one of our evidence-based programs for the home visitation program. They had a very successful audit. And in the Vivitrol, the medication-assisted treatment program, we have 125 clients that receive services. 50 are currently active in different phases of the program. 4 have graduated. Our new district attorney first offenders program, we have 11 active clients, and 5 have been discharged. One of the grants, the federal grants, is called the CARA grant. We're awarded to sister division dads, and they're going to be providing peer recovery coaches to overdose clients in the emergency department. And then we'll be collaborating. We'll have a halftime coordinator to help coordinate the program. Our Narcan, we're continuing to distribute the kits. I don't have an up-to-date number. And then we've had 2 staff that have been on long-term leave, And we have one home visitor to hire, one had resigned, family, they had moved. And then we have a HUD administrative assistant to hire yet to go along with the new coordinator. And that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Any questions on that report?
I received the Narcan training.
Good.
And so did, most of our staff at the Shalom Center.
Good.
New Shalom.
Awesome. Appreciate your participation.
Corporation Council. Any other business show up by law? Any closing comments? What's the date of the budget hearing for that?
The Human Services Committee and Board meeting, October 19th. So it's at 4 o'clock?
4:30, and then we'll start at 5, but we'll have some food available at 4:30. We'll be in the comments just right outside.
Right out here.
Yes.
If anybody wants to come, they're more than welcome, but it's rehashing the same thing, but it's the whole Human Services budget.
It's more exciting, yeah.
It's definitely longer.
Who's going to put that show on?
Tammy, her debut.
All right.
Tammy's debut.
That'll be the second time, then the third time on here again.
Yeah, in finance. Yeah. The next week, the following week, so.
I'll know by then.
Move to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Surgery. It's like I hope this doesn't last too long.